All right, we are live here with a Sloss Rant Wednesday night, and the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to the World Series. I know this happened almost 24 hours ago, but we're just getting around to giving an opinion, giving a take, and we'll give you probably 15 to 20 good minutes of solid baseball content, breaking down that pretty epic overall NLCS and that definitely epic comeback by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Let's start by saying this. We have to give credit to the Diamondbacks for an absolutely unreal comeback, going from 2-0 down, coming back also from 3-2 down in the series. This is the team that 2 years ago, they won 52 games and seemed to be going nowhere quick. They showed a lot of patience with the manager in Lavolo, who, you know, he led them to the playoffs one time before back in 2017, but that team had a much better roster with guys like J.D. Martinez, still in his prime there, guys like Paul Goldschmidt, guys like Zach Greinke. And with the Diamondbacks, we also know about the tragedy that happened to President Mike Hazen, suffered with his wife passing away, and the team, you know, they were quite patient with him coming right back too. But honestly, this story of the Arizona Diamondbacks and Phillies in the NLCS, it's not really about the D-backs. And I think that the fact that you got a D-backs and Rangers World Series, it's something different. And it's not necessarily going to be the most viewed World Series of all time, getting two teams with less than 90 wins in there. But I think at least with Texas, you have guys that you know, like Seager, like Simeon. You know, DeGrom's not going to be in there, but at least you know his name with the Rangers. Evaldi, John Gray, Scherzer. So those are guys with the Rangers who, you know, they threw money to solve all their problems. But I think the story really about this baseball's postseason is about the Phillies and their inability to beat the D-backs here. Along so with, you know, teams like the Dodgers and the Braves, their inability to get to the World Series also. But I think that there's four things really, if we're going to focus just on last night, that needs to be talked about. And we'll get to them one at a time after we list them out. The Phillies fan narrative, the Phillies bullpen, the Phillies poor hitting and reliance on the long ball. And, of course, if we're talking baseball, somehow it ties back to Christopher Mad Dog Russo. So, number one, the Phillies fan narrative. The fans in Philadelphia, all right, some of these people are my neighbors. Some of these people, you know, live near me, whatever the case might be. They thought that they could not lose, especially while at Citizens Bank. Philly had an unreal home field atmosphere, and it looked absolutely gorgeous on TV. I'm not going to lie, with that city backdrop. And listen, I lived here for the past few years, and honestly, sometimes you got to ignore what you hear on TV, on the news channels about what Philly looks like and what goes down, because every city's got its bad areas, but Philly and its surrounding areas, it's severely underrated. You know, we got the Four Seasons, we got open land preserves, we got great culture, great history here. And I say we because I've been living here for long enough now, where even though, you know, I'm a New Yorker, obviously, but for right now, we, Philly, me, all good. But you had these fans, as soon as the D-backs made it 2-2 last night, not even when they went up 3-2 in the game, they lost all their intensity and they were acting like rats off a ship, as the great Christopher Mad Dog Russo would say. And we'll get to more about him later. If you're a Philly fan, you got to support your team. This is a delusional fan base sometimes, though, here in Philly, because of the fact that the sports, they really put it up on a pedestal, even more so than New York or Boston. I feel like this is really their major rallying cry here in the Philadelphia area. But these fans, they act like they win championships in the four major sports all the time. I'm not talking about Villanova basketball. It's simply not the case that Philadelphia gets to experience championships all so often. Even if we wind this back 40 years ago to 1983, all they have here in the Philadelphia area is three titles. You got the 1983 Sixers, you got the 2008 Phillies, and you got the 2017 Eagles. So the fact that those Philly fans kind of turned on that team, got super quiet, they were pressing in the stands, and it probably led to the fans pressing in the stands because, yeah, it's great. It's easy to hit home run after home run after home run when you've got your entire fan base, everyone in the stadium there going crazy, and you're getting to the pitcher and you're rattling him. But when you're in a tricky spot like that last night and the fans all of a sudden went quiet, it almost seems like they turned on them a little bit. And I brought up this notion today to people at work, and there was a guy who was at the game, and you know, he kind of agreed. It got quiet, especially towards the sixth inning, and the D-backs were already up 4-2 at that point. Forget about 3-2. But again, this comes down to, you know, why I said the Philly fans are the stories here, because they were riding high, up 2-1, winning the first 6 games at home here in this postseason. But again, Philadelphia as a sports town from the 4 majors, it's not as big a time of a title town as most people would think it would be. Again, with only the 3 titles since 1983. They're not up there with New York. They're not up there, definitely not with Boston. These teams here in Philadelphia, they get pretty close all the time. The Eagles almost won the Super Bowl last year. They kind of got screwed over on a bad call. They get real close all the time. Phillies made the World Series last year. But when you look at New York and New Jersey, which has 9 professional teams, and Philly only has 4, obviously, but factor out all the teams that I don't root for. So get rid of the Mets, get rid of the Rangers, get rid of the Brooklyn Nets, get rid of the Islanders, get rid of the Jets, who haven't won anything since the 60s, but that's okay. If we go back to 1983, and this is, again, my point about Philly not really winning these titles all the time, that when they're in your grasp, you got to take advantage of it. So go back to 1983 with the New York and the New Jersey teams. You got the 86 Giants, which I wasn't around for. You got the 90 Giants, which I was in diapers. All right, and now we get to teams that I remember. The 95 Devils winning their first Stanley Cup when they swept the Red Wings. 96 Yankees, 98 Yankees, 99 Yankees, 2000 Yankees, 2000 Devils, 2003 Devils, 2007 Giants, 2009 Yankees, 2011 Giants as well. I know it's been over 12 years since the New York has won a championship, but you get the idea how many more championships the New York, New Jersey teams that I root for have. So this notion that if you're a Philadelphia sports fan that, oh, we're so good, we win everything, we're always right there. Yeah, the part about you being right there is 100% true, but you're delusional if you think that this wasn't a squandered opportunity, that when you're up 3-2 against an 84-win club in Arizona, you got to slam the door shut. You can't let them back in this series, and they did that in Game 6. And then as soon last night as the D-backs put a little bit of pressure on them after they came back to tie the game at 2, Philly gives the game right away. They gave it right away. And if you're a Philly fan, you should be disappointed. You should be upset because this was your chance. You were definitively the odds-on favorite. I think even when the Phillies were down, they might have still been the favorites to win the World Series, or at least, you know, they were a heavier chance to win the World Series than Arizona, even last night when they were down in Game 7. I'd have to double-check that, but I'm pretty sure when I checked, that might have been the case. And then one more thing relating to the Philly fan and a little bit of their delusions. Philadelphians and people who live in the Philly suburbs and the Pennsylvania side, they hate New York and they hate New Jersey. And to add one more insult to the crown jewel of their, you know, the cheesesteak scene here, which is obviously the big time food scene here in Philadelphia, Angelo's, which seems to be the number one spot, they started off in Haddonfield, New Jersey. And that's, I know it's a Philly suburb, but it's in New Jersey. And I bring all this up because the official Twitter account of New Jersey trolled the Phillies today, which was surprising because a large number of people who live in New Jersey root for the Phillies. And they put basically Citizens Bank with a Spirit Halloween, you know, banner drabbed over it. So that's pretty wild to me that New Jersey would do that and troll some people who root for the Phillies. All right, number 2, we mentioned the Phillies bullpen to kind of get things back on track here a little bit if we talk a little bit about the game. Alvarado, the reliever who gave it up last night, or he gave up, I believe, the 4th run, he had a career 3.43 ERA in postseason play. I looked up his ERA because based on his performance last night and based on his performance last year in the World Series against Houston, I would have figured that his ERA was much worse, but it's not bad at all, 3.43, but you can't surrender a run in that spot. You have to keep your team in the ballgame. Ranger Suarez, the starting pitcher, had a 0.94 postseason ERA as a starter before the game, and he goes 4 2/3 and gives up 3 runs, which just simply isn't good enough in a Game 7 at home when you're playing an 84-win Diamondback team, because you got to get the job done. You got to get through at least 5 innings. You got to give up at least 2 runs or less, which is, you know, technically worse than a quality start, which is 6 innings and 3 runs or less given up. So the bullpen wasn't good enough. The one guy out of the pen I was impressed with for sure was Zach Wheeler, which I didn't think he ever made a bullpen appearance. And of course, the game telecast said that this was him making his first career relief appearance. And not only was that the case, he came in without it being a clean inning, and he did a really good job. He went 1 2/3 and didn't give up a single run. So that's a good job out of him. But Alvarado has got to come in for the Phillies, and he needed to absolutely keep it at 3-2 in that spot. And then another guy, Hoffman, came in, and I've heard Mad Dog talk about him before, and I looked up his percentage of inherited runs allowed, and he was in the top 20 for relievers in terms of if you come in with a guy on base, are they scoring? So he did his job as well, much like he did during the regular season, which I did not, you know, I'm not breaking down the Phillies middle relief. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard enough for me to get bogged down on the Yankees middle relief. Now, the third scenario, I mentioned the Phillies poor hitting. The pivotal offensive players for the Phillies, who have nearly $800 million in guarantees, whether it's been paid out already or still owed to them, did absolutely nothing in these last few games here. And if you want to include Castellanos, Castellanos was 0-for-20 in games 2 through 7 with 10 strikeouts. Trey Turner, the last 3 games, and I know they won one of those, but Trey Turner was 0-for-12. Bryce Harper was 0-for-7. In the final 2 games with 3 strikeouts. Schwarber was 1-for-5 with a double. Okay, great, in the last 2 games. But just not good enough when you have that amount of money tied up to these guys. You could argue, honestly, that this was the reason that the Phillies lost, and it's because, like I just mentioned, they got nearly $800 million in total commitments between those guys there. And the Phillies' bats, again, they're making a equivalent to a small GDP, you know, the amount of money of a GDP of a small country, I should say. They didn't perform as well as guys like Gabriel Moreno on the Diamondbacks, who's making less than $1 million this year. I talked about him on the last pod, and he went 4-for-13 in the final 3 games, including 2-for-4 last night. Corbin Carroll, who does have a $111 million contract for the Diamondbacks, but it's over 8 years, only about $13 million per. He had 3 hits, 2 steals, and 2 RBIs in Game 7, filling up the box score, making clutch plays, and being a menace on the base pass. And the Phillies, the reason why they were so dominant at home is because they're hitting all those home runs out of the ballpark. But when the Phillies aren't hitting the ball out of the ballpark, they go on a dry streak, and they scored 3 runs in the last 2 games here where Arizona was able to come back. And when you're hitting those home runs early on, you look nearly unbeatable. But come playoff time, you need guys who can put the ball on the bat. Schwarber's not capable of doing that. Castellanos is not capable always of doing that. You would think Trey Turner is, but he went 0-for-12, like I said, in the past 3 games. And Bryce Harper went 0-for-7 after basically being thrown up there with the great Philly athletes like Jason Kelce, like Nick Foles. Yes, we got to include him. Like, you know, some of those Broad Street Bullies, the hockey team, whoever was on that, you get the idea. But Harper failed them in the end here. I mean, say what you want about his performance earlier on in the postseason. Say what you want about his clutch hitting in last postseason. He failed the Phillies in this spot, no doubt about it. And I know that Schwarber's not exactly the bat on ball guy, like I said, but this is still, this is not like a referendum on, oh, this Phillies team can't win the World Series with these guys who swing for the fences. But I think at the same time, postseason, it's just so valuable. Put the ball in play. And with the new rules of making it easier to steal bases, with how wide the bases are and not being able to throw over as much, I think guys like Corbin Carroll, who had 50 steals during the regular season, I think that that speed kills in the postseason. And he showed it yesterday. All right, and the fourth biggest note of this series was what Christopher Mad Dog Russo, and I've mentioned him several times already, but what else is new if you know me? What he said, that basically he would retire on Monday if the Diamondbacks came back to win the last two games. Listen, I'm glad he's not retiring. All right, people are giving him, you know, some slack for not retiring, saying he was being a hack, saying it was a stupid radio bit. But honestly, it's all about promotion. This guy has been talked about every which way. You know, he's probably one of the more trending people on Twitter. I haven't really looked at that, but you'd have to figure he is. And I'm glad, again, that he won't be quitting his show on SiriusXM Channel 82, named after him, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Glad he was on First Take today. I watched that. That was pretty entertaining, because he's going to continue to be able to entertain his listeners like myself. And I know I'm shilling for him a little bit here, but he's going to be able to entertain us with all of his stories about playing golf and tennis, blaming the fat guy in Rapid, his, you know, his friend there that got kicked out of the Vatican, for all his poor bets and other weekend activities that he talks about, and also talking about the 1940s Bears with Sid Luckman or Vince Lombardi or Joe DiMaggio, as he likes to say. But yeah, he shouldn't have to leave the air and retire. I mean, if you really thought that, I mean, like, don't take everything that people say so literally, because it's just not a good situation to be in. And how about this? The Arizona Diamondbacks, in their, you know, melee in the locker room, when they're celebrating, they're literally chanting, "Mad Dog, Mad Dog." Like, when have you ever heard a team celebrating a pennant or celebrating the, you know, going to the Super Bowl or celebrating going to the NBA Finals or winning some type of title of some significance, chanting the name of a sports talk host on SiriusXM out loud? Like, that was almost like their motivating factor. And, you know, just absolutely just insane. Like, if that's really what it takes to motivate you as a professional baseball player, like, you never would think it. But baseball, I feel like, is just such a grind that, like, if you have any type of mental edge, any type of juice going in your direction, I think that that probably helped them a little bit. And Lavola was a good sport about it, kind of saying, like, yeah, he's got a talk show to do. And, you know, we want to win anyway. So I thought that was pretty cool by him. And Dog is apparently going out to the World Series for games 3 and 4 and 5 when it's in Arizona. So it should be interesting to see if he gets him on there, and maybe he's there. Good luck charm. Now, I was a little bit conflicted, because honestly, if I wasn't living here in the Philadelphia suburbs, and this goes back to the point about the fans, I think that I would have been rooting for the Phillies just because there's a lot of players that I know on the team. If I was still in Arizona, honestly, I probably would have been rooting for the Phillies just because of the sheer fact that I kind of have to be a contrarian when it comes to sports. And you could be like, oh, you like the Yankees, the Knicks, and the Giants. That's pretty much to the book. But I also like the New Jersey Devils in hockey, which, as someone who was born in New York City and grew up on Long Island, you wouldn't think that the Devils would be my team, but they are. So I kind of have to be the contrarian here. So I don't mind that I was rooting for the D-backs in this spot. Again, I won't be able to forgive them in the long term about the fact that every time I used to walk in that stadium there in downtown Phoenix, you'd have Game 7 of 2001 playing on a loop. And that upset me to no end in terms of, you know, my sports fandom and whatnot. But I think that overall, it was okay to root for the D-backs in this particular scenario, because I don't want anyone to around me to be happy from a sports fan standpoint. If my Yankees got to be out of it at 82 games, long on the golf course, their most disappointing season since 1993, I think the people, you know, who are living here in the Philadelphia area should be miserable too, with their Phillies team being out of it. So that's pretty much that. That's almost 20 good minutes of content talking about the baseball game last night, talking about the big storylines. I think the World Series won't really have too much juice. It won't really be too exciting until maybe if you go into a game 4 or go into a game 5 with it being tied 2-2. I think maybe you get something there. But I think, honestly, the biggest story right now as it pertains to the World Series going forward is Christopher Mad Dog Russo versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, even Howard Stern had him on today to talk about the fact that he'd have to retire, and they were kind of working in what could be a good, you know, plea agreement for something that Doggy should do. And one other note about the D-backs, because honestly, this is something that I haven't quite been able to substantiate, but I think that if you're a big-time baseball fan in Arizona, not being like, oh, I'll go to a game, I'll wear some apparel of a team. I think that most of the big-time baseball fans in Arizona are actually Chicago Cub fans, people who are Midwest transplants from Illinois and, you know, Western Indiana and, you know, South in Wisconsin, where they'd be a Cub fan. So that's just the theory that I have. But the D-backs are not really like a big-time team in Arizona for anyone listening, you know, wondering where the D-backs stand in town. The Suns are number one, like, by a mile. Everyone likes the Suns. The Suns have been there since the 60s. Number two is probably Arizona State football. Number three, I would probably give the Cardinals football. Number four, maybe you go Diamondbacks if we're talking about just Arizona teams. I mean, they're definitely more important than the Coyotes, but I think that they're just it's just not a big-time interest there, because if it's not the Chicago Cubs, you have all the people who root for the places where they came from. Like when I was there, obviously I was a Yankee fan, and there's tons of New Yorkers there too. Tons of people from Philadelphia, tons of people from the Midwest. So I really just don't think the D-backs are all that important in Arizona, and I think that the ticket prices in the NLCS definitely showed that. So it's interesting that you get a team that doesn't really necessarily have the strongest fan base, and I could see why that's disappointing if you're working at Fox and you've got the World Series, because the Philly fan base, it shows really well on TV. There's no doubt, especially when things are going well for them and they're hitting the ball out of the ballpark, like I mentioned earlier. All right, Slash Rant live from the Philadelphia suburbs. Overall, I'm pumped that the D-backs are in the World Series. I'm excited for them. I think that it's a cool underdog type of story. And let's be honest, to kind of stop being, you know, the Mr. Positive, Mr. Rogers, nice guy tone, I'm happy that these people here who are Philadelphia sports fans don't get to be happy if my Yankees aren't in there. So we'll leave it at that. Schlossrant live, Philadelphia suburbs. We'll get to the NFL picks later on in the week, if not Saturday. We'll see you later, everyone.